This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. As the casino bill stalled on Beacon Hill last week, a few pieces of legislation did actually sneak through. I know it's hard to believe, but there was some action on Beacon Hill because one of those bills was aimed at improving school food in Massachusetts, and it passed following an 11-year lobbying effort by advocates. Governor Deval Patrick signed it, flanked by kids at a Cambridge playground just last week.
I am proud to be here to congratulate all of the parents who have been looking for a way to partner differently with the schools to assure that there are healthy options in the cafeterias at schools. Let's sign this bill and make it law. Thank you, everybody.
Well, the law does a few things. It removes barriers and provides incentives aimed at getting school systems to buy more fresh foods from Massachusetts farmers. It also establishes a statewide commission to tackle childhood obesity. Massachusetts ranks 33rd in the nation when it comes to dangerously overweight kids. But if you have school-age kids, the bill will probably have its greatest impact at school vending machines. School meals are pretty heavily regulated by the federal government, but more and more kids have been getting food from machines or maybe at school stores, and those aren't regulated. At least not until now, because this new law directs the State Department of Public Health to develop regulations for what administrators call competitive foods. So now public health officials have to decide, should things like soda and candy bars be allowed in our schools at all? Listeners, what do you think? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. With me now in the studio is Dr. Lauren Smith, Medical Director for the Massachusetts Department of Health. Dr. Smith, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Also with us is Valerie Bassett, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Public Health Association, one of the advocacy groups that fought for this bill for over a decade. Valerie Bassett, welcome to Radio Boston to you.
Glad to be here.
So, Dr. Smith, if I could just start with you. It seems, how is it that under the auspices of this new bill, you're going to clamp down on these extra snacks that kids have access to?
Well, the bill outlines the responsibility of the department to come up with regulations or rules for schools regarding these competitive foods that you mentioned. And basically, those are foods that are sold or offered outside of the regular school lunch, school breakfast programs. They call them a la carte, so you can get them instead of school lunches, or you can get them in vending machines or in other places.
Okay. And Valerie Bassett, your group has been advocating for these regulations for years, as we've mentioned. So I imagine that you've thought about what you'd like folks like Dr. Smith and her colleagues to do. So now that you've got the bill, what's the next step that you'd like to see happen?
Well, the first thing is to really look at the problem, which is that kids are both eating too much overall and eating the wrong things. So we want to see kids have healthier choices, so more fresh fruits and vegetables, low-fat cheese, yogurt, low sugar, and no sugar sweetened beverages. So we do have some ideas about specific recommendations that we'll be giving to the department, and we'd really like to see Massachusetts have the strongest school nutrition standards in the country.
What are some comparative standards in other states?
Connecticut, West Virginia, California, most recently Connecticut and West Virginia have passed competitive food standards. They've done a lot of things right. I think there's a couple places where Massachusetts can go one better.
And how is that? I mean, are you imagining a school where you walk in and the vending machines don't sell any soda at all, that it's just maybe water and apples, or that the school store is also completely devoid of these kind of snacks and it looks like a farm stand?
Well, that would be an ideal situation. I think what we would recommend is to keep it simple. We really want to promote kids eating non-processed, healthy, whole foods. So for beverages, let's have it just be water, low-fat, unsweetened milk, and 100% fruit juice. That's it. We would actually call for no what's called non-nutritive sweeteners, so that's artificial sweeteners, definitely no soda, and just keep it, and no sport beverages, that kind of thing. Keep it very simple and where we know what we're getting. For foods, also no candy, keep it simple, very low sodium standards. West Virginia's are good at 200 milligrams per serving, and keep portion sizes small as well.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Smith, I imagine, and please do correct me if I'm wrong here, but that schools sometimes have contracts with the vendors who supply the contents of these vending machines.
Right.
So does this bill interfere with those contracts? Does it supersede those contracts? Or will schools be bound to them for the duration of the, 1-2 years that they have an agreement with Coca-Cola or whomever?
Well, I'm not exactly sure about the specifics of each individual school district's contracts, because one of the issues here is that each school district is likely to develop their own contracts with the different vendors. One of the important things about this bill and the standards that the bill asks us to look at, the Institute of Medicine Nutritional Standards for Schools, is that it really pushes the vendors to come up with options that meet these recommendations that are still tasty, that kids will still like, and that people will want to buy. So I think, unfortunately, sometimes people think, well, gosh, if you have to, you know, not sell anything. It's like, well, that's not really true. There are healthier options that you could clearly sell if people come up with those formulations.
Okay, well, we've got a lot of callers who want to join us. Let's hear from some of them. Alex is calling from Peabody. Welcome to Radio Boston, Alex.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your thought today?
I was just saying that I think it's a wonderful idea because I'm one myself to just run and grab a couple of boxes of Little Debbie's and, you know, bags of Doritos and give them to my kids for snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more likely to eat them myself. So, like, if I'm in a rush, I'll grab one of their snacks. So if we all get better snacks, then we'll probably be healthier all around.
Alex, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another one in here. Ben is calling from Melrose. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ben.
Hi, thank you. I was listening, and I'm a school teacher, and I've noticed in different places that I've taught that kids seem to be apparently heavier than they were at least when I was a kid, and I see these ice cream cone machines and the soda machines and the sports drink machines, and I know that the kids are really excited about. You always see them with these snacks when they're in study halls. And I'm not a nutrition teacher, but I try to, when the opportunity arises, I try to tell my students that you really need to be aware of the types of, you know, what materials go into the foods that you're choosing to buy, especially the junk foods. Because, again, I it seems to me that kids are heavier than at least the kids that I saw in classes when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Ben, thank you so much for your call. Valerie Bassett with the Massachusetts Public Health Association. Let me ask you, our first caller really interestingly said this could be an example for me as a parent. So is there that sort of feedback that you're looking for in terms of changing not just student behavior, but even potentially family behavior when it comes to food?
Absolutely. Our schools are where we educate kids, but we know that obviously that means touching families as well. So I think it's important that we have an educational component to all of this. I think one of the points that is sometimes controversial, that is a way that raises parents' awareness as well, is thinking about what we do in class celebrations, so birthday parties, what kind of foods are available for kids. We would call for those foods to meet the same standards as the food sold on a competitive basis. And I think that gives an opportunity for parents to think about what are they bringing to celebrate their child's birthday. And also, there's a lot of ways to celebrate that aren't about cupcakes.
How quickly could we see changes being instituted in schools? I mean, when kids go back after the summer, could it be as soon as that, Dr. Smith?
No, not quite that fast. The legislation allows for school districts and for the department to take some time to develop regulations that are sensible but appropriate and really focused on the health and well-being of kids in our schools. So we don't have to, or rather they're not going to be implemented until January of 2012, I believe. So we have a little time.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier that individual districts have individual agreements with vendors, for example. But is this something that, because it's a statewide law, that one set of new rules from the Department of Public Health applies to everybody?
That's right. And that's one of the benefits of this piece of legislation, is that we will have a standard across the Commonwealth for how to think about and control these competitive foods. I mean, the idea really is that kids get about half their calories at school during the day, so we want to make sure that they have healthy choices during that time period.
Let's sneak one last call in here. Kathleen is calling from Andover. Welcome to Radio Boston, Kathleen.
Hi, my daughter is in the Optimal Weight for Life program at Children's Hospital. One of the things she's not allowed is juice. It's out of the house. It's considered as bad as soda. As far as empty calories, she's only allowed fruit. We already had all the whole grains and stuff. It kind of worked, but when she went to Belize for 10 days, where she had as much chicken and fish and everything was unprocessed and made from scratch, and there was always fresh fruit out, she lost 10 pounds. She could eat whatever she wanted, but there was no junk food even to spend her own money on.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen, thank you so much for your call. So evidence there, at least from one mom, that just removing soda from or junk food from the life of one young girl had an immediate positive effect. Valerie Bassett, last question here goes to you. Do you think that schools are the place today where you can really affect most change when it comes to children's eating habits? Because obesity, you know, it doesn't just start from 8 a.m. and end at 2 p.m. If one of the goals is to really attack the obesity problem in Massachusetts amongst young children, is this enough?
It's a great next step. We need to be paying attention to early education settings, other institutions where children are, and of course we have to work with families. But public schools, where we are setting the standards, where government is involved, where we're reaching a broad group of all different kinds of children, is a really powerful way to get reach healthy weight.
Well, that's Valerie Bassett. She's executive director of the Massachusetts Public Health Association. It's one of the groups that fought for this new school food bill for over a decade. Valerie Bassett, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Lauren Smith, medical director for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
There's much more after the break. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.